forsook his stately court, and in disguise unknown went forth to see that jovial sport. Now Dick and Tom in clouded shoon and coats of russet grey esteemed themselves more brave than those that went in golden ray. In garments fit for such a life, our good King Alfred went, all ragged and torn as from his back the beggar his clothes had rent. A sword and buckler good and strong to give Jack's also wrap, and on his head instead of a crown he wore a Monmouth cap. Thus coasting thorough Somersetshire, near Newton Court he met a shepherd swain of lusty limbs that up and down did jet. He wore a bonnet of good grey close bottomed to his chin, and at his back a leather scrip with much good meat therein. Godspeed, good shepherd, quoth our king, I come to be thy guest, to taste of thy good victual here and drink that's of the best. Thy scrip I know hath cheese good store. What then the shepherd said? Thou seem'st to be some scurvy thief, and makes me sore afraid. Yet if thou wilt thy dinner win, thy sword and buckler take, and if thou canst into my scrip therewith an entrance make, I tell thee, Royster, it hath store of beef and bacon fat, with shives of barley bread to make thy chops to water at. Here stands my bottle, here my bag, if thou can wince them, Royster, against thy sword and buckler, here my sheep hook is my waster. Benedicite, now, quoth our king, it never shall be said that Alfred of thy shepherd's hook will stand a whit afraid. So roundly thus they both fell toward, were giving bang for bang. At every blow the shepherd gave, King Alfred's sword cried twang. His buckler proved his chiefest fence, for still the shepherd's hook was that the which could Alfred could in no good manner brook. At last when they had sought for hours, and it grew just midday, and weary both with right good will desired each other's stay. King's truce I cry, quoth Alfred then, good shepherd, hold thy hand. A sturdier fellow than thyself lives not within this land. Nor rusty Royster than thou art, the churlish shepherd said. To tell thee plain, thy thievish looks now make my heart afraid. Else sure thou art some prodigal that has consumed thy store, and here comes wandering to this place to rob and steal for more. Deem not of me then, quoth our king, good shepherd, in such sort. A gentleman well known I am in good King Alfred's court. The devil thou art, the shepherd said, that ghost in rags thus torn. Thou rather seem'st, I think, to be some beggar basely born. But if thou wilt mend thy estate, and here a shepherd be, at night to Gillian, my old wife, she's as good a toothless dame as mumbleth on brown bread. Where thou shalt lie in hardened sheets upon a fresh straw bread. Of wig and whey we have great store, and keep good peace straw fires, and now and then good barley cakes when better day requires. But for my master, which is chief and lord of Newton too, he keeps, I say, as shepherd swains in far more braver sort. We have their cords and clouted cream of red cow's morning milk, and now and then fine buttered cakes as soft as any silk. Of beef and roasted bacon store that is most fat and greasy, we have likewise to feed our chops to make them glib and easy. Thus, if thou wilt my man become, this usage shalt thou have. If not, adieu, go hang thyself, and so farewell, sir knave. King Alfred, hearing of this glee, the churlish shepherd said, was well content to be his man, and so the bargain made. A penny round the shepherd gave in earnest of the match, to keep his sheep in field and fold as shepherds used to watch. His wages should be full 10 groats for service of a year, yet was it not his use, old lad, to hire a man so dear? For did the king himself, quoth he, unto my cottage come, he should not for his 12-month pay receive a greater sum. Here at the bonny king grew blithe to hear this clownish test, how silly sots as customers do desk and on the best. But not to spoil the following sports, he was content, good king, to set the shepherd's humour right in every kind of thing. A sheephook then, with Patch his dog, and Tarbox by his side, he with his master cheek by jowl unto old Gillian hied. Unto his side no sooner came, whom have you here, quoth she, a fellow I doubt to cut our throats, so like a knave looks he. Not so, old dame, quoth Alfred, straight of me you need not fear, my master hath hired me for 10 groats to serve you 1 whole year. So, good Dame Gillian, grant me leave within your house to stay. So, good Dame Gillian, grant me leave within your house to stay. For by Saint Anne, do what you can, I will not yet away. Her churlish usage pleased him still, but put him to such proof, that he that night was almost choked within that smoky roof. But as he sat with smiling cheer, the event of all to see, his dame brought forth a piece of dough, which in the fire throws she. Where lying on the hearth to bake, by chance the cake did burn. What canst thou not, thou lout, quoth she, take pains the same to turn? Thou art more quick to rake it out and eat it up half dough than thus to stay till it be enough, and so thy manners show. But serve me such another trick, I'll thwack thee on the stout, which made the patient king, good man of her, to stand in doubt. But to be brief, to bid they went, the good man not his wife. But never such a lodging had King Alfred in his life. For he was laid on white sheep's wool, new pulled from tanned fells, and o'er his head hung spiders' webs, as if they had been bells. Is this the country, guys, thought he, then here I will not stay. But hence be gone so soon as breaks the peeping of next day. The cackling geese and hens kept roost and perched by his side, where at the last the watchful cocks made known the morning's tide. Then up got Alfred with his horn and blew so long a blast that made Gillian and her groom in bed full sore aghast. Arise, quoth she, we are undone this night, we lodged have, that unawares within our house a false dissembling knave. Rise, husband, rise, he'll cut our throats, he calleth for his mates. I'd give old Will our good Kate Lamb, he would depart our gates. But still King Alfred blew his horn before them more and more, till that 100 lords and knights alighted at their door, which cried, all hail, good king, long have we looked your grace. And here you find my merry men, all your sovereign in this place. We surely shall be hanged up both, old Gillian, I much fear. The shepherd said, for using thus our good King Alfred here. A pardon, my liege, quoth Gillian then, for my husband and for me. By these 10 bones I never thought the same that now I see. And by my hook, the shepherd said, and oath both good and true, before this time, O noble king, I never your highness knew. Then pardon me and my old wife, that we may after say, when first you came into our house, it was a happy day. It shall be done, said Alfred straight, and Gillian, my old dame. For this thy churlish using me deserveth not much blame. For 'tis the country, guys, I see, to be thus bluntish still. And where the plainest meaning is, remains the smallest ill. And master, so I tell thee now, for thy late manhood shown, 1,000 wethers I'll bestow upon thee for thine own. With pasture grounds as much as will suffice to feed them all, and this thy cottage I will change into a stately hall. And for the same as duty binds, the shepherd said, good king, a milk-white lamb once every year I'll to your highness bring. And Gillian, my old wife, likewise of wool to make your coats, we'll give so much at New Year's tide as shall be worth 10 groats. And in your praise my bagpipe shall sound sweetly every year, how Alfred, our renowned king, most kindly hath been here. Thanks, shepherd, thanks, would he